Have you ever noticed that just after you have been fortunate about something and things have been going your way real well so that you felt you were really getting things going in the way you wanted them to go, that then there would be some hindrance develop, some real trouble arise? So often in life, we pass through these experiences in succession, and until we have enough experience in them to understand how they go, they can be very upsetting to us. It seems as though, as you live along, it is very much like riding in a boat on the waves of the sea. You rise up on one wave, and then you go down into the next trough, and then you rise up on another wave, and you go down into the next trough. These things seem to come in almost every aspect of being and of living. Now, we realize that there are ways of adjusting oneself so that you can maintain a straight course, but the circumstances will fluctuate. And this is true, too, in spiritual experience. I'm not in a position in my own mind, I just couldn't tell you, that it's going to have to be that way with everybody. And I'm not sure it has to be that way all the time. But that it does happen that way from time to time is clear. What I've been trying to say is that you could, on one occasion, have great blessing and follow it within a day or two with the most unhappy kind of experience. These things seem to be in the course of living in this world. And the Apostle Paul found this to be true. As we read in the book of Acts, we could turn to different places where you have his own career traced out in the records and see how this happened. But just now we're turning to chapter 19. And in chapter 19, in our last study, we took note of the incident, in which a man that had been possessed with an evil spirit turned on those who were trying to capitalize on the teaching of Paul and use the teaching of Paul in their own evil ways. And in so doing, they ran into the fact that this man who was possessed with an evil spirit turned on them and apparently acted violently with them so that they barely escaped, as it were, with their lives. Everyone heard about it and was greatly impressed by the fact that this would seem to indicate that the power that was with Paul was peculiar to him, and that there must be something special about this man. Altogether, what we had in verses 13 to 20 would indicate to you that in the community where Paul was preaching, it resulted in everybody thinking that he was really a great man and that his ministry was a great ministry. And verse 20, you remember, said, mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. In this fashion, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And now, immediately following that, there comes an incident and an experience that would be very discouraging and disheartening to Paul. There isn't a great deal in there beyond the record that you and I will need to pay attention to, but I will read it through, and as I do, we'll comment upon it so that you can see it opening up before you. And while you're listening to it, you can be thinking to yourself, this is the way it goes with Christian people in this world. These things will happen. Now we're reading at verse 21. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. In other words, he was planning his future itinerary, his future program of travel. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way. Now the phrase that way refers to Paul's preaching, that way of living, the way that Paul indicated that you could get the blessing from God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God would bless you. And there was no small stir arose about Paul's preaching. And then comes this incident. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. He made a business out of it, made money out of building little silver shrines, images, for the goddess Diana. And when he actually had a business that brought money to other workers, silversmiths, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, "Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. This is it, by making these silver images, that we make a living. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia," and of course you and I will remember that that's Asia Minor, that section of country that is now largely in the country of Turkey. "But almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands." And this is a testimony to the effect of Paul's preaching. Many, many people turned away from these idols made with hands to realize that they were not really God. And now in verse 27, Demetrius goes on to say, "So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, we might lose our business, we wouldn't have any more images to make, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. It will be a severe blow to the prestige of our religion, the religion of Diana, the goddess Diana." When it says all Asia, it means all Asia Minor. And when it says the world, it means the whole Mediterranean world, all those people whom they knew. And this great goddess Diana was considered a great goddess in this whole area. And this man has just pointed out, if Paul goes on with his preaching, he's going to reduce our whole religion to nothing. "And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians," which was just a slogan, the kind of a thing that you could shout and that you could say out loud and so on. And these people were all stirred up because this man pointed out, if Paul succeeds, he's going to ruin what we've got. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. They had a large open amphitheater, or a big playing field like we play football, a big sort of open-air auditorium for people to gather around and to see things. And they rushed them into this big place like you would bring them into a ballpark for everybody to be gathered around. And they brought in these two men to accuse them. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. Now when Paul heard about this riot and saw how they caught his two companions and carried him in there, Paul wanted to go in and face the crowd. But the disciples wouldn't let him do it. Verse 31, "And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, some of the head men of Asia Minor, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater, asking him, begging him, stay out, don't put yourself under the risk of being involved in a tragic episode there, because this people is like a mob, and it's hard to say what they'll do. Some therefore cried one thing, some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together." This usually happens in a mob situation. When you get a big crowd of people, they all get excited about something. Nobody knows for sure what they're excited about. "Then they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, Great is Diana of the Ephesians." What you really had was just the makings of a real good riot. That's just what was going on. "And when the town clerk had appeased the people," I don't know just exactly what status that man had. He's called here the town clerk. I think maybe you and I might call him the mayor, perhaps. "He said, You men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshipper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter?" He is saying to them, we don't need to get excited. Everybody knows that what we believe is sure, and we all believe it. We're not going to change our minds. "Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly." He's urging them to settle down, quiet down. Nobody's going to get hurt about this. For you have brought hither these men, and that would be Gaius and Aristarchus and Alexander. You have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. These men haven't stolen anything from the temple, and they haven't really said anything against Diana at all. Wherefore, if Demetrius, you remember he was the silversmith, caused all this trouble, and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies. Let them implead one another. Let them take it to court. Let them accuse this man, Paul, of doing them harm. But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. We'll take it to court and settle this thing in a lawful fashion. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar. We might have the Roman soldiers would come in here and accuse us of allowing a riot, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Now I have read through all of that for you to see a typical mob situation with the feelings aroused the way in which they are. Sometimes it is done publicly in the sense of a big mob, and sometimes it's done in magazines and newspaper articles and big controversy aroused where there's a whole lot of heat and very little light. And may I just say to you, in case you get a great big argument like this, you can have it in a local church. It can happen right in your own congregation. Might even happen right in your own family. Let me tell you something. There's no good purpose to be served by getting involved in it, by participation. There's no advance for the gospel. Notice what the good friends did to Paul. They kept him out of it. And may the Lord help you to keep out of these big hassles that people have, these big quarrels and controversies that really don't add anything to anybody. Our God and Heavenly Father, teach us the ways of peace that we may know how to do. But our Father, if in any case we are beset by things we cannot control, give us the grace to be faithful to Thee in every situation. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.